Now, Vince Cable, you're known to be pretty good at predicting the economic forecast. So can you tell us what the dramatic collapse of Lehman Brothers is going to mean for the global financial scene and also for the UK?
Well, I'm not a forecaster. I mean, I used to do that for my living, but I don't anymore. I'm a politician these days. But I think it's possible to make some fairly obvious and sensible comments about it. I mean, the first is that it's a massive shock to the confidence of the system. I mean, that we've now had the credit crunch, as it's called, for over a year. That's an environment within which trust has completely broken down between financial institutions. They won't lend to each other. And when you have two big international banks, which are big in London as well as in the United States, going down as well, Merrill has been bought up, of course, rather than gone bust, but two of the biggest names of the business have gone down. It's fairly clear that there is still a lot of uncertainty about the underlying financial viability of a lot of institutions. So it's a very damaging blow to confidence. I think there are all kind of wider worries which are lurking in the background and may or may not be realised. The investment banks, as we discovered with Bear Stearns a few months ago, are crucial to the stability of what's called the derivatives market. These are the trillions of pounds or dollars of futures and options, and these things. This market is absolutely vast, and it's expanding in the background. Warren Buffett called it the hydrogen bomb rather than the atom bomb of financial markets. And there was worry when Bear Stearns collapsed that this market would be affected because of what are called counterparty risk. We don't know what the position is in relation to these banks. I presume the American regulatory authorities did a test as to how vulnerable they were as a result of the collapse of Lehman Brothers. But one has to worry that there is a potential shock effect going much deeper and wider into the financial system.
Were the US authorities right not to bail out the bank, in your view?
Yes, I wish the authorities generally had been tougher. I mean, and the argument I had about Northern Rock a year ago was that it should have been allowed to go down. Once it had gone down, then the logic of the situation, if you're bailing it out, then the government had to assume control and effective nationalisation, which is what happened, but very belatedly. Indeed, that's what's happened in the United States also in relation to the two big mortgage lending bodies, Freddie Mac, I've got that the right way around. They've effectively nationalised too. And I think the issue is not whether a particular decision to bail out or not bail out is right. I mean, that depends on the judgment of people who are much closer to it than I am. But to ensure that there are the necessary parallel measures. I mean, if the bank goes down, as we've done here, which may well be the right thing to do, it should be on the basis that there has been a stress test, that there's no threat to the system. If, on the other hand, there is an intervention, if there is government bailout of some kind, then there has to be a price paid by the company, and that is that their shareholder capital is effectively wiped out, the government assumes control, the existing management are thrown out, and that any recovery accrues to the taxpayer rather than the company itself. So the issue is not bailout or not bailout. It's the decision making that accompanies it, which is crucial.
What about back here in the UK? You're talking about the sort of shock effect for the rest of the sort of global scene. What should our government be doing in response to this?
Well, there are two crucial things, and are things that were in the pipeline anyway, but I don't think were being treated with great urgency. I mean, one of them was the need to firmly embed the system of depositor protection in law. The government has made it very clear that depositors will be fully protected in the UK if there is a collapse of an institution, which is why we haven't had any further runs on the bank since Northern Rock. But the arrangements and the limits and have not been firmly secured. There is still doubt as to how the funding mechanism, for example, for deposit protection, and we need to get this into law very quickly. And I think the second is defining the circumstances and how failing banks are taking over. And that's, again, the government's had consultation about that, and that will be part of the new legislation when it comes. But another British bank could go, just, you know, just as Lehman has done, and we need to be very clear about who is responsible for the decision-making so that we don't have the fiasco we had with Northern Rock, and that the rules of the game are very clearly specified.
In terms of restructuring the financial markets overall, what do you think needs to happen now?
Beyond the two measures that I've suggested, I don't have any particular suggestions as it affects the UK. I mean, I think one of the major lessons coming out of all this is that the whole regulatory system wasn't satisfactory, and that let's assume for the moment that we can get by without the collapse of more financial institutions, that there's no more runs, and that the markets do eventually settle down. And then what lessons do we learn from that? I think, first of all, it is very clear that the whole boom-bust cycle that we've seen in particularly mortgage lending does need to be countered by more effective regulation. The idea of counter-cyclical regulation of varying reserves according to the state of the economic cycle is now becoming accepted intellectually, and I think by the institutions themselves and our government, and it's an international problem, so other governments are going to have to move quite quickly to get a system in place. And I think whole issues like the way in which wild, extravagant bonus payments contributed to this crisis, as they did certainly with the investment banks in the United States, is going to have to be addressed. When everything was going fine, you know, it was always said, well, you know, what does it matter if these guys get vast bonuses for transactions? It's clear that it was actually contributing to the weakness and instability of these banks. So their practices are going to have to change, and it probably involves regulatory change, both here and in the United States. And, you know, we've got to get on with making sure that that happens. And the tricky decision-making is how to prevent the regulatory response to this crisis being disproportionate, you know, that you have a vast, complex, box-ticking type of regulation which doesn't actually solve today's problems, because today's problems have moved on, and does quite a lot of harm. But at the same time, you can't just sit and let things happen. A sort of passive, freewheeling environment hasn't worked either. And getting that balance right is going to be very difficult.
Okay. Do you think this is the beginning of the end of capitalism as we've known it?
No, I don't think that. I mean, throughout the history of the Western world, we've had financial crises, and I think one of the things which decision makers forgot is they got into this, you know, hubristic frame of mind, who believe that this time everything was different and that you can have a boom going on forever and you can gamble and you're always going to win. I mean, that kind of stupidity happens in all economic cycles, and particularly in financial markets. No, I mean, this kind of shock, as you know, you can go back through the 19th century, the early 20th century, and go back to the 18th century, and we've had phenomena of this kind. People never seem to learn. What is much more dangerous, of course, is that markets are now much more interconnected, you know, because of internet systems and telecommunications, and they're therefore much bigger, and therefore when things go wrong, you know, more finance is sucked into the system, there are more casualties, but there's also more potential for benefit when the thing goes well. So this isn't the final crisis of capitalism by any means. It could do a lot of damage, but there will be a recovery. But it is important we learn some lessons.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday. Guardian.co.uk/audio.